No restream, I'm telling you, I am pressing go live, I swear. Welcome to episode 370 of the Mighty Whites podcast, where I am as tired as KC's laptop fan is loud.
That was pretty loud, to be fair.
Yeah. I'm Jack, as always, joined by KC. How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad, you?
Yeah, all good. Knackered, but all good. I mean, I know that I make jokes about it all the time, the lack of prep, but I finished work like 3 minutes ago.
So. Yeah. For the time of this, I did consider starting this off shirtless and doing like a blue edition, the Nudie Whites podcast or something like that, you know, kind of like the Quickie Mart after dark.
Yeah. Not because we'd get banned or anything like that, just no one needs to see that.
Yeah.
Least of all me, but least of all Lisa. But what was good to see was we won at Forest again.
Yeah, it's back to the days of can we play you every week?
Yeah, 2-0 win, and obviously with it being the League Cup second round, even if we'd have got beat, it'd been stress-free. But it was a very stress-free game. I thought, you know, we nicked the one in the league, but this one we were just the better side.
Yeah, I thought, like you say, it was much more of a game of football was this one. But yeah, I thought we played some nice stuff at times. Strangely, I thought there's probably periods we played nicer football in the first half than the second, but
yeah.
Yeah, it was, I think it was a good run out for some players, and somehow surprising and totally not surprising that we finished with a stronger team than we started the game.
Yeah, most of the subs were about what I expected. The only one that surprised me was bringing Calvert-Lewin on at the end.
That was an odd one.
I'm not sure that was necessary. But maybe he just thought, well, I can give him 10 minutes here or make him run for 10 minutes after the game. We'll just do this one. But no, it was pretty comfortable. Like it's not like we were ripping him to shreds, rope, but they weren't creating big chances at all, really. And that's sort of the main thing out of a game like that.
Yeah, I think we got another sort of customary big save from Trafford.
Yeah, the one from Chris Wood from fullback.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those chances that I think if he had it again, I think Chris Wood had won. Wants another one of those. He had a couple. But yeah, on the whole, I thought for Elvedi coming in, the defence still looked good.
Yeah, one of the main things that I thought out of it was I really did like the look of Elvedi. I thought he looked just really calm. And I mean, you know, he looked like a guy who's got 70 international caps and he's incredibly experienced.
Yeah. I don't think that's probably the difference between him and Bornau is that, like, Bornau, I think, is technically perfectly capable of it, but you're looking at someone who is just much more experienced, a lot more seasoned, and probably less injured, like fewer injuries he's dealt with in the year before joining us.
Yeah, historically, that's definitely true, but we can curse anything, so we won't worry about it yet. Obviously, yeah, you said Trafford was good again, although he was good. I thought Tanaka had a good game. Mostly off the ball, he was really snapping into his tackles. You could tell he was out to impress, which, you know, you always want to see. It's not like he's going to get into it. I mean, obviously, Ampadu played again, as he always does. Left side looked better for Okafor. Right side looked a bit worse for being Longstaff. I thought Longstaff had a pretty poor game up until the assist for Dan James's goal.
Yeah. It's a solid 7.2 rating on FM.
Yeah.
Do nothing, assist. Good game. Well done.
Yeah, so then, and Metcher did fairly well in leading the line. It wasn't. He had some nice moments. He wasn't fully in the game, but that was sort of similar to Calvert-Lewin at the weekend.
I think overall, like you say, I think it was quite nice having Okafor back in and giving him his customary hour.
Yeah, you would hope. Well, because we'll come on to it later, but I'm not 100% sure. You would think it'll mean Okafor starts at the weekend, but you won't be 100% certain.
No. Like I say, he looked sharp, which I think was the main thing. And you know, over these two games, you would say he's probably been the biggest attacking threat. I think certainly the most direct.
Yeah, well, we do miss him when he's not playing. Doubly so when Goodmanson isn't there as well. So it's...
Yeah.
It'll be good to see him back in, hopefully.
I think if you kind of went through the team, most had at least a steady game. But yeah, like I think Miremovic had another good game at the back.
Yeah.
Dan James had a good game from...
Yeah, I was very pleased for Dan James because, I mean, it's his first goal for... Because he didn't get any last season, did he?
No.
So his first goal since...
Was it like Middlesbrough away in the Championship, I think they were saying?
Yeah, in the 3-0 win that officially is recorded as a 1-0 win.
Because
Tanaka and Bamford both scored goals that were miles onside.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's first one since then, and hopefully it'll do him good. And I just thought also, like, he seemed to have his head around the positioning of playing right wing back a lot better than he used to. Like, there were a couple of crossfield balls where he got back into right position to intercept them. And things like that. And, you know, when we've got so few options as wing backs, he's not far away from having to play in the Premier League. So it's a good sign that he's done quite well. I would still be terrified if he actually had to play there in the league.
Yeah, it's not the ideal choice, but I think it's one of those things that you'll see quite often, I think, in the cup games. Because he did the same thing with Nonto last year, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I think if Nonto were fit, it would have been him. Because he isn't the best tackler in the world, but he's okay at it, and he does like one.
Yeah.
He does like to snap into a tackle. He just isn't particularly great at it.
Yeah. But like I say, because I think he had a decent chance in the first half that was saved, and then he had near enough the same chance in the second half, and he took it well.
The one in the second half was a nicer angle than the first. The first one was really tight. But no, it was a good goal. And then the second goal comes from, we fuck up a long throw, have a goal bound scramble, have a fairly weak header across that is into a good area, to be fair. And then we trip over the ball, they trip over the ball. And then Justin, I do think that Metchie was fully behind the line, so it isn't offside. But yeah. I didn't in any way celebrate the goal. I said to you, well, that's offside. He's kicked that against Metcher. I've got used to it now because we're shitty, spoiled Premier League fans now. It was you who had to say to me, there's no VAR. It's a goal.
Yeah, nice and easy. Ref gave it. We all move on. I think James Justin's celebration pretty much summed up the goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. It was incredibly scrappy, and somehow we didn't concede a free kick. I think it's after the goal when Nico Williams gets the back of Metcher's leg to the face. It does feel like the sort of situation in a Premier League game where a free kick would have been given for reasons.
Yeah.
What was the goalkeeper somewhere there? There's probably a foul.
Yeah. But either way, and to be fair, it's not like they looked like they were going to score anyway, so I think it'd have been fine. Tonight, Chelsea have beat Luton 2-0, so that's the next round. Chelsea away, which, meh. If that was a fifth round game, I'd be well up for that.
Yeah.
This early, I just think, okay, so that's probably the end of that then. Because I think Chelsea are going to be really quite good this year.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it was still I know there was changes in there. It's still a relatively strong team that Chelsea put out.
I didn't watch any game, but when I had a glance at it, I mean, it's a... Like, there is no one in that team other than maybe Mike Penders in goal, and they're signing Emi Martinez. So this would be Sanchez then. you would think, and Emi Martinez in goal for the league games. It's internationals in every position and Josh Achampong.
Yeah.
For their fully, just their basic, almost fully rotated team that they decided to put out. Like, it's, and did you see much of them on Monday night against Fulham?
Outside of the first goal, no. I didn't get to see a whole lot.
There was a bit of switching off and stuff that let Fulham back into it. But when they were going forward, they looked scary. They looked really scary. So we'll have to, next round, we'll be outsiders, but you never know. And I haven't checked the odds, but I wonder, we won't be outsiders at the weekend. Because we're at home and we've got a really good home record and Brentford's away record is not great. But I bet it's not by much that we're favourites. Because I don't think we're favourites. Brentford look really good this year.
Yeah, I know it's...
Oh, Leeds are... Leeds are 2.6, Brentford are 2.7, so it's almost a pick'em.
It's one of those where... Obviously, you are very much basing it off the opening game of the season. But they did look fantastic.
Yeah. I know Spurs looked shit, but they looked brilliant. And I know that it's, you know, you can't read too much into the League Cup. But Brentford went to Birmingham, and Birmingham are not a bad side. Even if they made changes, they're not a bad side. And they beat them 6-1. Like, you know... The other thing that I hadn't factored in was, you know, like their last two friendlies, they scored, they won an aggregate of 11-1 as well.
Wow.
Against, I think it was someone in La Liga, they beat them 4-0. No, 4-1, and then they beat Frankfurt 7-0. Like, they're really looking like a good side this year. And they're just... They've just got loads of quality at this point. Obviously, they'll still be playing a very direct football. They'll be more than willing to sit back and let us have the ball and try and counter. When they do counter, they've got a really serious pace coming off the wings. Because Kevin Shard is really quick. Watara's on the other side. He's really quick as well. Igor Thiago's still the weird one in that whenever he's played against Leeds, I don't think I've ever seen him have a good game. And I know he scored a shitload of penalties last season, but he did get like 20 Premier League goals or something, did he? So he can't not be good.
Yeah. They're an odd team. Like, to look at, like, if you look at them on paper, it doesn't seem to be a team that's pulling up any trees, like a solid team.
Yeah, the name Vitaly Janelt doesn't terrify you. But then you think about every time you watch him and go, he is a good player though, isn't he? Yeah.
There is no Jordan Henderson to score against us this time.
That's true.
Which is a bonus. Would have been out injured anyway.
Yeah. He might score against us for Chelsea in the League Cup.
He's still out with a broken arm. So if he's recovered by then,
will he be in 2-3 weeks?
I think obviously the two that were spoken about mostly from the Spurs game. First is Sangare, who just ran that game.
We'll just talk about him now. I was going to bring him up in the next bit. Look, I don't have time to watch loads of European football and stuff anymore, or really look into things. So I read a load of people whose opinions I respect say, this guy is going to be at Brentford for 1 year and then someone's going to pay 120 million quid for him. And then I watched him play one game against Spurs and thought, yeah, because he was fucking outstanding. He absolutely ran the show.
Yeah, he could. I mean, the build-up play to the Keane Lewis Potter goal, who is probably the next person I would have mentioned. Mm. But it's just him just demanding to get on the ball. Nigh on after every pass he's played, he's just moving and just going, right, give it back.
Yeah.
His movement was fantastic. His awareness for passing. And yeah, he's just, he covered so much ground.
Yeah.
He looked like Taz at the Royal Rumble in 2000, like it.
Yeah. But not in 2001.
No. Not that one.
Burn it.
But yeah, he looks like an excellent find for them.
Yeah. Because they played so well against Spurs, I'm just going to assume it's the same team. So the Kelleher goal, who's obviously a good keeper. Keane Lewis-Potter had an excellent game from left back. They might switch back to their back three with it being away, but I basically don't think they'd be scared enough of us to bother.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll save that for away against the Champions League teams. So yeah, Lewis-Potter had a really good game. Collins and Christopher Ayer at the back, which it's almost definitely going to be. I'm sure they've probably got they've got that Schuster, haven't they? The young lad that they've signed, but they won't change it for this. And Ethan Pinnock's gone to Coventry. I believe that's gone through now. Michael Keogh at right back, who's an excellent player. Really direct when he runs with ball. He's quite good at coming inside with the ball as well, which is almost Bogle-y, but with more powerful running than...
He doesn't move like a footballer. Like his body is...
No, it's because he looks like he's too much of a brick shithouse to be a footballer, but he is a good
one. Yeah, like he is a good footballer. Very good throw-ins as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Ampadu's are good, but KOD's are that level above, aren't they?
Yeah. But it is a team that you just look at and just go, it's been very well assembled over 6 years when they've lost players, they've replaced them well. Yeah. You do kind of... If you're a Brentford fan, I imagine the thought process is one bad summer and we could be Southampton or Leicester, but...
But they keep not doing it.
Yeah, like, you know, when you have the previous windows where you've lost your entire front three and you have... And that's happened a couple of times, obviously, like when... the season they didn't go up, obviously losing the likes of sort of Watkins, Ben Rama.
Yeah, that was what, Tony Watkins, Ben Rama?
Yeah, so...
Or did they sign Tony afterwards?
Oh, it might have been afterwards because it was BMW, wasn't it? For...
Oh, it was Mbeumo.
Yeah, Mbeumo, so they had...
Mbeumo, Watkins, Ben Rama.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so they've all moved on to pastures new. Ivan Tony's looking at sales or something, I don't know, in London. But yeah, they've I know they're on similar lines to Brighton, but their scouting is mostly left to Scandinavia.
Yeah, I don't think it's any coincidence that because Benham and Bloom used to work together, didn't they?
Yeah.
When I look at, because if it is the same team, Sangari and Yanel in midfield, Shadow on left, Watara right, Thiago up front, and Mateus Jensen at 10. In terms of technical ability, if they don't decide to play Mateus Jensen and instead play Damsgaard, I think he's probably a slightly quote unquote better footballer, but they're not going to change it for this one. Changes to the squad this year, they haven't bought loads, have they? Obviously, Sangari is the main one, but they've bought. They brought Callum Wilson in on free to be just like a backup striker. And they spent like 20 million on Jadon Anthony, which sounded like loads. And I still think is. But apparently he's been pretty good in pre-season. He was good when he came on. He got 3 assists in that 6-1 win against Birmingham.
I mean, he started last season off very well with Burnley as well. Like he did have some very good performances. So, I like Jadon Anthony. Like I know he was pretty much a backup winger for us, but whenever needed, he was a very reliable player.
He was way better than being fourth choice winger for a championship team. We just happened to have ridiculous wingers.
Yeah. But yeah, if 20 million gets you a solid, reliable winger that gets you a few goals each year, it's probably worth it.
Yeah. While I was working, I did listen to a bit of All Stats Aren't We podcast. They had a Brentford fan on. And there was a thing that I hadn't realised that they got talking about afterwards, which was that considering Keith Andrews was the set-piece coach, they scored, I think it was the fewest goals from set-pieces, not including penalties, of any team in the Premier League last year. It was like 10, which really surprised me, but they only conceded 9, which I think was the second best behind Arsenal.
Yeah.
So the last game, I was like, oh, this will be really tight, and maybe it's a set piece that edges it, and if it comes to that, I'd be backing us. This one seems more like it's going to be a weird game where they're... Because I think we're not going to overcommit and want to hit them on the counter a bit. And they're definitely going to want to sit back and try and hit us on the counter. I think that you might get 20 minutes. If they don't just come out and press high, which they might do for the first 5 minutes to try and catch us like they did Spurs. But if nothing happens in the first 5 minutes, I think you might get half an hour of sod all in this game.
Yeah, I'm just looking back to the game at Elland Road last year, which because nobody drew at their place 1-1.
We drew 1-1 at theirs because that was the excellent Nonzo cross for Calvert-Lewin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the home game was...
I have no memory of this game.
It was a draw. It was definitely... I'm sure it was a draw.
It was a draw.
But I can't remember anything about it.
It was a 0-0 draw.
That'll probably be why.
Yeah. This was a game we started Calvert-Lewin and Metcher. But I'm assuming at this point we shuffled Metcher to the left.
Yeah, and that did they play a back three in that one? Because I think they were still doing that.
They did. It was Vandenberg, Pinnock, and Collins.
Yeah. Whereas I think that it'll be a 4, which I will probably make for a better game actually. For whether that's a good thing for Leeds or not, I'm not sure. The main thing I keep thinking looking at this team then is like Leeds. Are we going to pick the same team as we had in the opening day, or is it going to be Okafor for Aronson? And I can't really see anything else changing. Because Nonto's not going to be fit, and he won't play anyway, and Goodmanson's not going to be fit.
I don't know, actually, because if I thought Brendan Aronson had a good game, I can only imagine what Daniel Farke thought of him. Yeah.
In theory... He's sort of chasing back with Coyote. Which I know that Coyote, if they go shoulder to shoulder, Aronson's going to end up as part of the foundations of the new West Ham. But he will chase him all day and not give him a moment's peace. And we might need something like that. And then you can give Okafor half an hour at the end.
Yeah. I cannot believe
I'm saying that, but I think I genuinely think that's probably the way I'd end up going. I cannot believe I'm saying that, but I think I'd start Aronson.
I think Aronson starts this.
No, it's not that I think he will. I've said that loads of times. It's that I think he will, and I think it's probably the right thing to do. Which I don't think I've said very often at all.
Oh, it makes me feel dirty. Going against my beliefs. But yeah, I think that's how we'll line up. I don't think there was enough out of the League Cup game to make you think that James, Elvedi or Tanaka would start.
No, they're probably all had good enough games that Farke wouldn't be hesitant to use them off the bench as much.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean an early sub, but like he won't be going out of his way to avoid it. On the subject of players who very rarely come off the bench, we should mention Sam Barron's gone to Borough.
Yeah. That is, I mean, it's a shame that he's gone, but if he has been given some assurances about playing time, good for him. Go, you know, he's what, 32?
His legs are 32 going on 35, isn't
he? His legs are several years ahead of that. If he wants to go somewhere, get some more regular playing time and because I suppose when you've had the number of injuries he has as well, I don't blame anyone for wanting to get the game time in.
No, the second that he didn't want to be outfield Alex Cairns, he had to go.
Yeah.
And I, you know, he's had an odd career because that was another thing that got mentioned. I think it was on Square Ball. That he's played like 220 games for Leeds, and in all of that time that he was away from Leeds, he played about 90.
Yeah,
because he was injured just for all of it.
And the, I mean, the video he did, the interview he's done, which I can only assume now was probably recorded about.
Well, he's got last year's training kit on.
Yeah,
so it's a while ago.
So they were prepared. But I think he described it as sort of the best period of his career. And I think it's because, like, I know he wasn't the first choice, and I know it wasn't kind of what it was when he first broke through at Leeds. Mm. But he was part of a really good Leeds team, you know, especially the first 2 years. He's part of a top-end Leeds team where he was playing fairly regularly. As it goes.
Yeah, I don't know how many games he'll have played in those seasons, but a fair few.
Yeah. He's come away with a league winner's medal, has seen the team whose academy he came through, having been part of them when everything off the pitch was so badly run that it was left to Redders and some children to try and keep the team going.
Yeah.
That now he was part of like a normally run football club that was doing well and was being invested in and it was being successful. Yeah. So it must have been quite nice.
Yeah, the second spell in the league, he plays 33 games in the first season and 36 in the second.
Yeah. Like
I know there's not many starts in that, but there's a few. And I said, overall, in that 3 year spell, 80 games, 3 goals.
Yeah.
That is a good run.
And I think
143 games, 10 goals in the first spell.
Yeah, like and I think it's nice because I think on the personal side of things, he gets to leave in a much better situation where, like, yeah, last season will have been frustrating for him that he didn't play more.
Yeah.
But he played Premier League football with Leeds. And that is probably something he wouldn't have thought really about probably since being about the age of 11 or 12. Once he broke into the team, saw what it was like and went, well, we're clearly not going anywhere.
I mean, you never know how much of it is lip service, but he did say in a few interviews, like when he came back, you know, that when Leeds got promoted under Bielsa, he was like really jealous. Because that's what he wanted to do when he was at Leeds. And then he got to do it.
Yeah. It's all the same that Charlie Howson didn't get to play, in a sense, because he didn't get to.
I'd have still played him in a League Cup game last season.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's allowed.
Yeah.
There might be a rule against it, but I still would have.
But yeah, I think it was, if nothing else, it was a really, really nice story that Sam Byram came back and for all intents and purposes, it was we've got him on trial because, as is the case that he says, knows the club, Farker knew him from Norwich. So yeah, just, you know, get him in. And we were all like, this is nice.
When they said, oh, he's just training with us, every single fan went, no, he's definitely signing. We all knew.
But yes.
You've got him to make sure his leg don't fall off after 3 weeks. That's why you haven't signed him yet.
And like, yeah, you know, he could have gone off somewhere else and had a decent run of it. But the fact he got to come back and live out those 3 years, it is great. And I hope he gets as much football in as he can do over the next couple of years and then can just go, right, good. You know, for all the mid to late 20s years where I should have been in my prime that I didn't get to play, you know, I've kind of made up for that.
Yeah. And Hellberg's Middlesbrough do play really good football and stuff and they're quite good to watch, so probably see a bit of it.
Yeah.
Back to the weekend. Who are you most scared of for Brentford?
It's Sankara is kind of the obvious one now, because it'll be an interesting one to see how we try and deal with that. Because obviously having the two-man midfield, I know Aaron, like you say, Aronson will probably end up on Coyote. So you're probably sort of relying on Anton Stack, trying to deal with him in the middle.
Stack's going to be in there with Ampadu, But I suppose if they're only playing one up front, which they will be, and we've got three centre-backs, it could well be that one of them is stepping... One of Muramovic or Roden is stepping out to help, and then the midfield can go two for two.
Yeah.
But he looks that good that it worries me. Ouattara always scares me because he's not always great, but the games where he is, he's terrifying.
Yeah.
And James Justin's a really good 1v1 defender, but he is still on the wrong side. And just the tackling angles and stuff like that, it makes it more difficult. So, like, they're probably the two I'm most worried about, Ouattara and Sangare. And I think for us, the one that I think needs to have a really big game is Muramovic. Because I think he's going to have to be good in the middle, winning headers, just tackling. But I think he's going to have to get out and help Justin a lot as well. So I think he's going to need to have a big game if we're going to get some.
Yeah. And like you say, ideally, we can be one of the teams that cause them a few problems at set pieces. Again, wherever it's overhead kick. She does that every game at Ellen Road, as best I can tell.
Yeah. I suppose the only other change I could see Leeds making, and I don't think they will, could you see anyone playing instead of Wilson? Someone who's more of a... does he want to play Longstaff to be a bit more solid? I wouldn't do that one, but does he try and do something like that? Or play Tanaka in midfield and play Stack in that role?
If he was going to do anything, I think it'd be that one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Longstaff really pulled up any trees.
No,
no pun intended. In that last game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a tough one because I also feel like if you're going into your second game of the season, first home game, and Wilson's not starting, that there is a bit of...
Oh, I wouldn't do it. I'd definitely start Wilson in this game. The only way I'd be tempted to not do is if you do start Okafor and you play Aronson on the right.
Yeah.
That's the only way I could be tempted, but I think you have to start one of them because you're going to need... The way that they sit back and defend, waiting for a counter-attack, I think there's going to be a lot of times where Leeds have the ball 30 yards out looking at a block of nine players. And you need to try and figure out a way through, and that's the sort of thing that we need someone like Wilson for. It also means that I might... If I do a bet builder on the game, which I probably will of some kind... Stack two shots, Wilson two shots. He's probably going to be part of it because I think that they might end up with some space. They might both get left with some space 25 yards out a few times. And between the two of them, if they leave him a bit of space, there's always a chance.
Yeah, I'm not against it.
Yeah. So I've got the prediction. Benny has shot out to an early lead ahead of... Well, I mean, miles ahead of everyone. Connie's got four. You, Alex and Danny, two. Me on zero, because I'm a pessimist. But Benny has 10 because he got a 2-0 correct score in the cup. For this Brentford home game, Benny and Danny have got 2-2. Alex has us losing 3-1. Connie's got us winning 2-0. What have you got, Casey?
I'm going to go 1-1.
I think that's so fair because I'd already typed in a 1-1 draw for myself as well. And right now, I'd take it. If we get 4 points from the opening two games, that's a great start. It is a home game, so you want to win your home games, but I think Brentford look really good.
it smacks of two incredibly sensible teams who one is aware that it's playing away from home, the other aware that it's playing against a very solid team. So let's just both be super solid against each other and eke out a draw.
Yeah, but was it there outside of either team winning like 4-0? I don't think many results have actually surprised me here. They're all ones where I can go, yeah, I can see how that could happen.
I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'm fairly confident in saying is that it'll be tight.
I can see this being a game where Calvert-Lewin doesn't see a lot of the ball.
Yeah, so the one thing, he did score in the one away there. The fact that he's only up against two of their defenders instead of three as he has been previous years might help a little bit. Because, Ayer's massive, but I think Calvert-Lewin couldn't beat him. And the same goes for Collins. They're both good and they're both strong. Yeah. I think if Calvert-Lewin has a good day, I think he can win those battles.
Yeah, I feel like he's not going to see a lot of the ball from us. It'll be one of those where I don't think he'll do a lot, but I don't think it'll be down to him.
Yeah, and if it is like the game last year, the one thing that I can remember from that game is I think Igor Thiago had about 6 fouls. Because I remember coming out going, next time we play them, I'm having him for X amount of fouls. So that's another bit of a bet builder.
Yeah.
but that will do us for episode 378 of Mighty Whites podcast. I'm not sure exactly when that, but we haven't got a midweek game, have we, next week?
No.
No, we're just straight. It's just straight for a week, isn't it? The next one after that is Brighton on the Saturday.
My browser has frozen.
Ah, well, luckily your camera has not, which is good. But yeah, we'll be back one of Monday or Tuesday to talk about this game. Hopefully, we're coming into it and we've had another good result. But I've been Jack's here.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.